I'm very, very happy to welcome everybody that joined today. On today, which is Women's Day, you know, and reminding the necessities to offer equal opportunity to women in the workplace, but also in the just daily life. We thought we would give you today some interesting examples of women having had a different perspective, and that could illustrate, you know, interesting pathways for women, and showing also how women can help change the world. We have the pleasure of being joined by four great women, you know. So I will just do it in this order, but maybe by alphabetical order. So we have Valérie Beaulieu, which I had the pleasure to meet a year ago when she came to Switzerland. Valérie is at the executive committee of Adecco, where she's in charge of sales and marketing after being working for Microsoft. And Valérie also joined us at something which is called Conseiller du Commerce Extérieur, where I had the chance to meet her. We also have with us Angela DeWolf, who is very well known in Switzerland for her engagement around sustainability and all topics related to ESG, and who is on our board, you know, since not very long ago. She joined us. So I am also happy to have Angela on board, bringing her interesting perspective. And then we have Marianne Sébastien. Marianne is a personality very different, not coming from the business, but she has built different, I would say she has an association which is called Voix Libre, and which has the aim to help women in South America, but also in Africa, and help them avoid being beaten by men, allowing them to take their life into their hands, and growing, developing their own business through microcredits, through different initiatives. So I think she will have also a lot to tell us. And then we have Deya Markova, who you know, but Deya comes also from a different perspective, because she's Bulgarian and then has been moving to France to study. And today is heading our trade commodity finance business in Geneva. So all different perspectives, but I thought extremely interesting, and that could bring a very different perspective of how can women, you know, help change the world and do things to make a better world. So I will start maybe asking my first question. You know, we saw there could be two different questions. A question around how each of you around this virtual table, how have you built your professional career? What were the things you succeeded in doing? The things that were more difficult? And if you have one lesson learned, what would you tell the women which are listening to us? So I don't know who wants to take the floor. Valérie?
Yes, I can start. Thank you, Anne, for organizing this. And I feel very passionate about sharing experience with other women because we need to start by helping each other. So thank you for that. Maybe something that I wanted to share is, as I started my career in the corporate environment, I started in sales and marketing, and I was just focused on doing my best job. That's what I was trying to do, striving to achieve my results, you know, delivering above expectations, etc., and really never really raising my head until one of my manager at the time told me, you know, if you continue like that, people will just leverage your ability without ever you taking your career in your hands and doing what you like doing. And this had like a wake-up call that I realized that I was actually driven by others rather than really driving my own career. And I think this is something that we all have to reflect at some point. And a couple of years later, I got the chance to have a fantastic mentor, a Meg mentor, I need to say, who gave me the chance to take a broader responsibility to manage a business in the French subsidiary of Microsoft. And this was really the beginning of a great career because I realized this is what I love doing, being a leader, having all the levers at my disposal to make an impact. But I need to say these moments were really critical. And maybe one last thing I want to share is that I grew my career. Now I knew what I wanted because I had this wake-up call that I need to take my destiny into my own hands. I had this mentor who was really helping me and believing in me. And then I got the chance to be the chief operating officer of one of our biggest divisions directly in the U.S. And I didn't apply for the role. I was 4 months in into the U.S. and I thought, I don't have enough experience yet. It's too early, bad luck, etc. And my president came back to me and said, why don't you apply? And I said, well, I'm only 4 months in. It's too early. I said, come on. Do you think the men who are going to apply have all the qualifications to go for it? So I just want to leave you with that story because no matter how much you think you are driving your destiny and you are opening yourself to new opportunities and to grow your career, sometimes us women, we put ourselves too much barrier because we want to do good and to be good before applying to the next level. So that's all for a very quick story. I think you're on mute.
Angela?
Okay. Hi. Yes, I don't see all the people around. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be also present to this panel with women and happy to share. I'm sorry I wanted to be on place, but the COVID has been year-round, so I am sorry also for my voice. Just to share, I think it was not easy to get this question, and I just thought about my own personal, I would say, journey about professional. And I have to admit that I started from the university with a complex personality, which I think most of the women are, and human being, and also ambivalent ambitions, meaning that in one side, I really wanted to be committed to humanitarian. Sorry, somebody's talking also with me. Sorry. So I had this willing to be committed to more humanitarian elements or commitment, and on the other side, very much interested in economics and financials. And of course, I had the first choice that was a choice of reason. So I followed, I became a certified financial analyst. I started in private banking, analyzing company. And this dichotomy between my two willing or my two ambitions has really met in 2000 when I had this huge opportunity to finally get into sustainable finance. And that was in 2000. And that was really like un coup de cœur. It really comes like at the end, I really managed to get this, I would say, systematic, pragmatic approach of financial, but joining this with other value that I consider being fundamental also on the long run. So that was my story, and I would say that in the rest of this journey also that I met both, I would say, great opportunity, great chances, but also a lot of obstacles and difficulties. And I like to say that in any case, for any woman, any human being, it would be always like that. So it's just keeping being centered in what you are looking for, staying also very pragmatic and also very day-to-day business and serving your clients and your colleagues, and trying. I like what Valerie said about finding around us the mentor, the people that support in increasing and taking these large ambitions, but also remaining very centered on a vision on this long dimension. That's on the short element.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Angela. Maybe Marianne, if you want to.
Yes, with pleasure. I'm very happy to be with you. And my message for all women that are with us is that we are much more than what we think. Because I was shy and I never imagined that I can develop a big foundation with 2 million of people saved in 30 years. How would it be possible? Because I am born woman, and I am a woman that with all capacities that you have, we are very global, and we think to everything in the same moment. And I think that all the obstacles we have give us much more strength to be magic people, because we think to something, and it's possible that the realization is possible. I don't believe in development. I don't believe in economic and social progress if it's not grounded deep in our capacity to love, deep in our desire to live and to help people. For me, to help people is the first thing, the first necessity of a human being, to help somebody. If we don't help, we can die today. It's not, and nobody will care. So I think that in my life, it was the most important thing. I had many, and I became a leader in many situation of development in Bolivia with the most people, and I began immediately with microcredit, because people can be important, can be in abundance if they can have an enterprise, and it's the most important thing. I began with a man in a very poor, giving him $3. And with $3, he could buy lemons. And 1 hour, 1 year afterwards, he was the leader of all microcredits in this favela, in this suburb. So I think that people can realize themselves when they are together. And my strength is to gather people. When I was young, I was gathering friends. I was gathering my family with 10 people, with 12 people. And one day I was in Bolivia in the mines where all children were dying. And I was gathering 12 children, 12 young people. And from these 12 people, we have 2 million of people today. Because each people, it's our strength also of women, is to decide and to ask much to people, to have this exigence and no outer compliance towards the other than towards oneself. And each child knows that he can love without limit. He can help without limit. And that's why, for example, I had a young girl in the prison that was very affected by injustice. And today he is the lawyer principal in Bolivia, and all the governments, all the ministers are asking us, Free Voices, Voilivre Foundation, to form all the police and the army to the no violence. Imagine that the people, the children that have been bad treated, are the specialists of no violence. The poor people are specialists of the poverty. So it's another way to look, not the negative people, but all negative people, for all negative things that we are living, we become the specialist of this. That's all.
Merci. Thank you, Marianne. Deya.
Yes, thank you very much. It's a pleasure being sharing this tribune with all these remarkable women. Well, for me, as Anne mentioned, I have a different background. I have a very uncommon career path. I think what has always driven me is that thirst of seizing opportunities as they present themselves, and having this ability to jump into the unknown, to go into unknown territories, embrace challenges, and deliver on what I've committed to the best I can. So as I mentioned, I'm Bulgarian by birth. I left the country when I was 18 years old with almost no French and no money in hand, and arrived in Paris. Well, managed to finish my studies. Then I landed in Sogdiane, first in mergers and acquisitions, where I was working on dealing with strategic issues of clients, trying to better understand how the bank can advise them in their development. And then I moved into the commodities world, which is a very fascinating world I'm still in. But there I was dealing with different issues and trying to better understand how clients organize their financing and funding strategy, and mainly on the emerging markets. And maybe because of that exposure to emerging markets and because of my background, I've developed a real passion about sustainable development, which I'm pursuing, and I'm really an evangelist, I think, in the bank on those topics for the past at least 12-13 years. So afterwards, I mean, my career has been back and forth between sustainability and commodities, and now I'm trying to gather both of them, which is quite innovative. But again, I think it's always that thirst of going into the new and building new solutions by bringing disruptive thinking and not being afraid of not being afraid of not doing it right. Just try it, and if it doesn't work correctly, then fix it and move forward to the goal set.
Maybe each of you could share of a big mistake you made, and you would recommend all women to avoid. Deya, you want to continue?
Big mistake I make. I don't have an example in mind, but I think the biggest mistake I've made over the beginning of my career was to try to fit into the code. And I relay a little bit with what Valerie was saying, just doing the right things and then trying to be like you are expected to be, instead of hearing my inner voice and fighting for my beliefs. I think meeting you, Anne, made a huge change in my behavior, and now I feel more comfortable into fighting for my beliefs.
who wants to take the word then?
Yeah, if I can, I think it's a very good question. I don't know if it was a mistake, but at least it has been really an obstacle for many years. And this is when I decided to become an entrepreneur. And I was alone, and I said, but is it possible to be a woman and to be an entrepreneur? And this was, for me, I never felt legitimate for many years. And retrospectively, I think that I don't know why I had this unconfidence, because is just trying and is also not being afraid of not succeeding. So I think that was an element, but it took years to become at the end saying, okay, I have the same, I would say, capacity, the same vision, the same capability than a man or anybody else. But that was really difficult at the beginning.
I can go next, Anne, if you want. I think one of them, and again, I don't know if it's a mistake, but just a reality check. I know many of us around this table may have been called variation of bossy. And I think this is a mistake that I've made, and I continue to make, because for the longest time, I didn't realize that just because I was a woman with long hair and possibly heels and a skirt, I was coming with stereotype. And so to just act like an informed executive who's prepared their files and just sharing, data, information, conclusions would not be perceived the same way just because I had long hair, heels, and a skirt. And it may felt as a threat to my male colleagues, especially the ones who are not comfortable with gender equality. And I think this is a mistake that I continue to make because I assume that male will look at me for my professional self. But what they see is my professional self wrapped into a female body. And so I always need to think about how do I not play into the stereotype, but be super aware that I probably need to tune how I talk to these males because they have stereotypes still attached to how they see me in the very first sense of it. So it's all good to be yourself. It's all good to be authentic. We just need to make sure that sometimes to fight the stereotype is not just to fight them up front because you get the backlash. You get the backlash and you get hit by people don't like you because you're too aggressive when actually you feel you're just assertive, which is a trait of leadership. So I think this is something we, as we grow as leaders, we just need to be aware that there are multiple ways to fight the stereotypes, but sometimes we need to play it smartly because it can backlash.
I totally agree on what you said. You know, I had exactly the same experience where people always feeling, and I think also being a woman, you like to be, how would I say, the excellent student. So you do things perfectly, not leaving eventually enough room for male colleagues around because you have done things perfectly, and then they can't stand it. So I do totally agree. Marianne.
Yes, I think that a big difficulty I had, it was not express myself. That's why I created the Voix Libre foundation where the voice is capital, to give the voice, to give the truth, to give the authenticity, to give the best from oneself. And I was very shy, and people can't imagine today, but I was singing, and it was my big luck, my big chance, because I was singing like a solist with orchestra, and I've learned to listen each voice and to understand that each person has the radiophonic frequency, the special one, and we can't judge people because each one is at the maximum conscious in this moment. We can't change people. But if we are all together, we can be a nice orchestra. We can find a new harmony. That's why I was taught by music to be a leader of a big foundation and to gather people. I was gathering people. When I have one son that was born deaf, and I was gathering all the parents, I was gathering all the children, I was gathering all the therapists, I was gathering all the children in Bolivia, in Africa, where I am. And finally, it's the same thing to be with 2 people or 10 people or 1,000 people. And we have no limits to gather the whole world, you know. And And if we could stop the war today, I would like to gather all the refugees from Ukraine, you know, when they come here. And I think I was looking at a new photography this moment. We see a little girl that is going, a refugee from Ukraine on the road, and she's the whole, the only, the unique richness she has. It's the sac d'école, comme est-ce qu'on dit? The bag, school bag. And she goes, to which school? Nobody knows. So, yeah. So I think that it's the obstacle is to stop, to be shy, to stop, not to give the, because if we don't express, we depress. We are depressed in depression. I think the important thing. Voilà.
Merci, merci Marianne. Et peut-être pour rebondir du coup sur, moi je suis très intéressée par tout ce qui est, touche au bien commun.
Oui.
J'aimerais que vous me donniez chacune un peu, voilà justement on a parlé sustainability, Marianne avec tout ce que tu fais, etc. En quoi est-ce que vous voyez le rôle des femmes pour pousser aussi à transformer la société pour le bien de tous? Marianne, tu veux reprendre la parole?
Oui, ben c'est simplement, on a créé un nouveau modèle de société en Bolivie. Et c'est vrai que un nouveau modèle de société, parce qu'il y a une éducation différente pour les garçons, première chose. Donc on a éduqué, on a eu jusqu'à 20 centres avec des filles et des garçons. Et les garçons sont éduqués comme des filles. Donc simplement, personne n'imagine qu'il y a une différence de nature et qu'on est tous capables de tout faire. Et ils ont de l'autonomie alimentaire, ils ont des jardins, ils ont des écoles où ils apprennent à peindre, à dessiner, à s'exprimer, à danser, à faire du yoga, à méditer, à prier. Et je crois que c'est cette éducation sans genre ou polygenre, voilà, où on arrive à être un garçon et une fille en même temps, qui fait qu'on a pu abolir, ou aussi on est en train d'abolir en Bolivie, diminuer beaucoup les féminicides. Aujourd'hui, en même temps que je vous parle, toutes les femmes de Bolivie ont rempli la place publique de Cochabamba, une ville d'1,5 million d'habitants, d'un grand mur avec le nom de toutes les femmes qui ont été tuées. Et on fera une conférence de presse sur la place avec tous les maires et les ministres et compagnie. Mais pour ça, pour éviter cela, on a créé des hommes de paix. C'est-à-dire dans toutes les prisons, avec tous les hommes avec qui on travaille, par des thérapies assez fortes, des techniques de non-violence, par des tas de thérapies particulières, on arrive à les transformer en hommes de paix. Ils arrêtent de vouloir passer tout de suite leur colère, tout de suite leur violence. L'oppresseur masculin disparaît pour révéler des hommes qui ont plus ou moins du cœur et qui comprennent pourquoi ils sont dans cet état de colère permanente depuis longtemps. Et les hommes ont vécu les guerres, ils sont en train de les vivre en Ukraine, en Roumanie, partout, en Russie. Donc c'est comment travailler ce fond de nature guerrier, quoi.
Merci, donc, Marianne.
Voilà.
Qui veut prendre la parole? Angela?
Je rebondis sur la question de du guerrier, la guerrière. Je pense que c'est des guerrières lumineuses, parce que de toute façon, il faut aussi prendre des combats. Voilà, je ne sais pas s'il faut prolonger en français ou en anglais. Ce que je trouve important, enfin en tout cas, mon expérience personnelle.
Better in English.
Oh yes, right. Okay. Right, sorry. So let's go to continue. I know it's important to remain, I would say, a barrier, also a woman barrier for the long run. But I would not oppose men and women. I think in my own experience, what was really important, it was my commitment to be on a long term. And I think I did not to do it good, but I thought that finance is really a powerful tool to transform and to support, I mean, the need of the society. So in that respect, sustainability is just a meaningful, it's just a common sense. It's not about being good or bad, but it's really fundamental to finance an economy that can be long-standing for years. And this was the purpose and the reason. But I made a mistake if I come back to the last question. I thought that I was able to change the world and to save the world. And this is sometimes too much. I'm just trying to do my best and trying to do my job in a good way, in something that is related and loyal to my values. But I'm not judging if people are right or wrong. I'm trying to give the example and to do my job in the best way. And in that respect, I can have people following me and together with others trying to push sustainability in the large scale. But again, there is a mistake trying to be sometimes, yes, just too much, you know, the importance to give too much energy. Just keeping center rooted and trying to get in the right direction in line with our own values.
Valérie?
Valérie, you're mute.
Sorry, I was unmuted for just a sec. So I wanted to build on what Angela was saying, because I think the point here is not to oppose men and women, but really to have a plea for diversity. Because the reality is that the way we can transform society is by inviting multiple points of view to the table. If you have a vast majority of people who are like-minded thinking about solutions, it's very likely they will end up with the same solutions because they are just thinking in the same way. When you invite at the table multiple points of view, this is when the magic happens, because you have creativity, innovation, by having multiple points of view at the table. So it's not only men and women. Let's start with that. Let's start to make sure that we have a representation of society at the table, because if we have to tackle society problems, we need to have a representation of the various points of view so that we really spur that innovation and collaboration. And I don't know if you know that research from the Harvard Business School, I think it's an old research from before the 2020s, where they actually demonstrated that the IQ of a team is much higher than the sum of the IQ of the team members when you have diversity. I think that's the best proof we can have on how with diversity we can really transform society for the best.
You know, that's very interesting, because when I was working, I was younger, for Pricewaterhouse, we had this training where they did this. So they had us do an exercise individually and then in team. And me, as a good French, being educated to be competitive, my own aim was to be better than everything. And in fact, I was good, quite very good, but the team was better. And it was a lesson learned for the rest of my life. Huh? You get much more getting everybody around the table, and getting its diversity, its really different experiences, you building with everybody brings you much further. So it's very interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Valérie. Deya?
I obviously agree with all that, and I'm a big promoter of diversity, different point of views. But given that we speak about women today, I just wanted to make a remark there, because I think empowering women, generally speaking, creates a virtuous cycle, economically and social-wise, because we've seen it with our example on our end in Switzerland. I mean, since we have Anne on board and Hélène and a lot of senior women in the management, we have more women around the table systematically on our meetings. We create a different type of discussions, and I think what actually research shows as well is that when women are not significantly outnumbered by men in meetings or in their daily life, they have a tendency to more freely speak up and bring to the table the topics such as need of vulnerable people or creating some social safety net, and I think that's a good way to to bring good to the societies, to bring more women on board systematically on our meetings in our companies, to create an economic power, but as well change the type of discussions we're having on a daily basis.
I can only concur on that. And you know, one experience I had is that I am on the board of a company called Ipsos, and on the board we are 50% of women and 50% of men. And in fact, it was interesting because I was saying it is the first time in my life that I have no issue speaking whatever the topics are, because there is no constraints. When I was the first woman on the executive committee at SocGen, it was quite tough, in fact, at the beginning, because men were not used to see me. And so, you know, sometimes when I was coming up with ideas, I was saying, I have the gorilla coming out of the wood and shouting at me. And it was extremely a very bizarre experience. And so I think it's, I agree, it's important. And me, because of that, I have become favorable for quotas, which not everybody likes, but just to make sure there is a balance. And I am not asking for 50-50 or whatever, but I think you should have sufficient number of women on board to allow freedom of speech. But then, maybe one thing I would now like you to comment, or what would be your advice for younger women or women with ambition, you know, to drive their career? What would you recommend them if you have the two or three things you would advise them?
Oui.
Je peux parler?
Okay. Je voudrais te remercier, Anne, parce que j'apprécie beaucoup de connaître une femme comme toi, et généreuse, parce que tu as même fait un don privé pour les femmes de voix libre. Et c'est ma question, parce que je pense que partout où j'ai travaillé dans les pays, j'ai rarement vu une banque qui a des budgets de milliards, de 50 milliards et plus, aider vraiment les gens qui ont $1 par jour. Donc c'est ma question ce matin, comment est-ce qu'on peut faire pour qu'il y ait des ponts, des liaisons et qu'il y ait des investissements durables de la part des banques? Parce que il y a des fondations parfois, mais les fondations donnent très peu ou pas. Donc j'aimerais savoir comment est-ce qu'on peut faire pour changer ce paradigme et quel règlement intérieur il pourrait y avoir dans des banques pour décider qu'il y a 1% qui est distribué aux femmes qui meurent. Et il faut savoir que dans le monde, les femmes et les enfants, c'est 75%. 75%, c'est les femmes et les enfants. Et c'est elles qui sont victimes des conflits, victimes des problèmes économiques, victimes du Covid. Donc comment est-ce que la banque, la Société Générale pourrait, je ne sais pas qu'est-ce que vous avez comme possibilité, mais d'aider largement, avec un vrai pourcentage, avec des vraies décisions, les plus pauvres?
On fait des choses on a une fondation, on fait des choses via la fondation. On fait aussi des choses localement dans les pays où on est, via nos entités. Après, tu vois, par exemple, on n'est pas en Bolivie, du coup, on ne fera rien en Bolivie.
Non, mais on est au Burkina. On est au Burkina. Il y a certains pays qui sont victimes des exactions, l'école s'est effondrée. Donc, ça serait génial qu'on puisse ensemble faire quelque chose, ou des projets durables pour vous, comme de mettre de l'eau potable et ensuite de gérer des vrais projets d'investissement, tu vois, d'investissement.
Et comme je t'ai dit, je vais te mettre en contact avec le gars qui est en charge de l'Afrique. Mais oui, déjà, sur ce sujet, tu veux peut-être commenter aussi, tu peux avoir t'as souvent des idées.
Dis-moi.
Là, vous me prenez un peu au dépourvu. Nous, on est très focalisé sur si on peut accompagner des projets en fait via la filiale au Burkina ou via comme disait Anne, notre succursale Afrique en général, ou via nos clients qui sont présents sur le terrain. Enfin, on le fait tous les jours pour amener du business et du revenu dans le pays. Mais c'est quelque chose, on peut sensibiliser nos clients qui sont présents sur place et voir si on peut mettre quelque chose en place.
Oui, ça serait très bien qu'il y ait des dons personnels, que des gens soient touchés par la misère qu'ils côtoient dans leur pays et de leur proposer des projets, les faire circuler, tu vois. Qu'un dossier passe de main en main, parce que c'est souvent comme dans ma fondation, c'est les dons personnels de gens qui ont du cœur, comme Anne, qui nous aide et qui remonte le moral, parce que c'est minime ce dont a besoin une ONG à côté des revenus d'une banque. Donc c'est très génial qu'on puisse imaginer des ponts, des règlements intérieurs, des décisions éthiques et durables. Avec Angela, on va faire ça.
Qu'est-ce que vous faites, Adéco?
Hein?
Pardon? Je demandais à Valérie, que faites-vous chez Adéco?
Sur les fondations?
Ouais.
Donc nous, on a une fondation qui est très active sur plusieurs volets de la diversité, à la fois sur les femmes, mais aussi sur... Shall I switch to English? So obviously around women and inclusion of the women in the workforce, we are also working for disability and to make sure that we also have inclusion in our diversity. And what I want to say is that it goes beyond what we do through the foundation. It's also the way we're doing business with our own customers, because as we are in the people business, it's important that it is every day. It's not just what the foundation is doing, it's in what we are doing every day and in our conversation with our customers. So on all the fronts, I would say we're very active.
Okay. So Valérie, Angela, vas-y.
About your question or about the foundation?
No, about whatever.
About the foundation, I'm already in contact with Marianne, so I hope we can support in a way or another, but that's another story. I'm just coming back about the advice to the new generation, and I have to admit that I'm quite impressed and I'm very proud of this new generation of women, that they really feel more freedom, and I have the impression they are less under the control to be perfect, to get everything. I mean, in the way they are perceived, in what they are looking, they have ambition, they are looking for new, for new jobs and traveling. So I don't know if it's my own perception, but honestly, I have the impression that things have improved related to women. So I'm not willing to give too much advice, only the fact that it's a long journey, so be careful not to get too much exhausted quickly, because sometimes by doing everything and trying to get everything done, you get lost because you don't have the energy afterwards, if you possibly have a family, if you have to manage over-solicitation and the responsibility. So it's really keeping the maximum of being centered, rooted again, and following, of course, the vision, the ideal, and your ambition, but still remaining very pragmatic and also getting support from men. So it's about this diversity, but it's supporting each other and also finding in men and other women more the trust, more the sisterhood and than just trying to fight, because fight it's a lot of energy. That will be my advice.
Valérie, your advice?
Yeah, so I would love to share the optimism, but when you look at the impact of COVID in the last 2 years, women were actually the most impacted, leaving the workforce and also being the slower to come back in the workforce. So we need to make sure that we get back to where we were on track to accelerate the integration and the inclusion of women. So my three advice would be very much along the lines of what Angela was saying. Be authentic, be yourself. I think you win when you are yourself. The second thing is find your allies, identify your allies. Who are they? And they could be your allies as mentors, but they could be also allies that will help you advance the cause of women. And I think being partnered with men on that, I found it super powerful, because we are all in it together. Having one minority against the world doesn't work. It's just when this problem becomes a society problem, this is when we win. And the last thing, also to Angela's point, don't be discouraged, because sometimes you will, it will be tough. So make sure that you have your cheerleaders, and be sure that at any point you can still call me. I'll be your first cheerleader.
Deya?
Yes, obviously, I agree with that. Maybe three things on my end. First, courage. Be courageous. Believe in yourself and take both decisions. I mean, from what I've seen so far, I mean, both decisions always pay off. Sometimes it's difficult, but they always pay off. Second thing is stay relevant. I think we live in a society and in a world where changes are happening in exponential velocity, and being always ahead of the curve and being relevant in terms of competence, in terms of vision, in terms of adaptability is very important. So just one should always stay relevant on the topics of the society. And maybe the third, which is more personal, I think there is always this question: how do you reconcile your personal and professional life? And for women, it's a big topic. And my conclusion today is that you can't get it all at the same time. Sometimes you're better off professionally. Sometimes you're better off personally. I think on the long run, and you're a great example for that. And we always manage it. It's just that seeking perfection and having it all at all times might be derouting, and maybe it's not the right aim, and not the right goal to pursue.
Marianne?
Oui, je voudrais bien dire quelque chose sur les microcrédits, parce que j'ai commencé il y a 30 ans dans les prisons à donner du microcrédit. Pourquoi ? Parce que, je leur ai dit, vous ne m'avez rien donné, je ne vois pas pourquoi je vous donnerais, je ferai de l'assistance. L'assistance, c'est ce qui paralyse un corps. C'est comme si vous risquez d'avoir le sang qui se bloque et que vous ferez un AVC. Donc vraiment, le microcrédit, c'est ce qui va faire circuler l'argent et le rendre libre. Donc, c'est commencé avec des microcrédits très petits, de 5 francs, 10 francs, 20 dollars, 100 dollars, 200, puis 500, etc. Surtout aux paysans, 500 dollars, parce qu'ils remboursent une fois par année. Et on a plus de 100 000 bénéficiaires de microcrédits, mais dès le début, j'ai décidé que ça serait taux zéro. Ça veut dire, c'est clair, qu'au lieu de faire de l'assistance, on fait du microcrédit, mais la personne retrouve sa dignité, retrouve sa fierté, retrouve son respect. Et c'est les femmes, essentiellement, on ne donne pas de microcrédit pratiquement aux hommes. Très très peu on en donnait, mais finalement c'est devenu que pour les femmes, et en Afrique c'est que pour les femmes. Tous les dimanches il y a 300, 500 femmes qui reçoivent des microcrédits, taux zéro, mais elles remboursent en service communautaire. Et ça, c'est une force incroyable de la femme. Imaginez que les femmes, ou qui vous, qui ont vécu un génocide, qui ont été violées, qui sont dans un état catastrophique, souvent physiquement aussi, et qui remboursent en prenant un gamin de la rue ou un gamin soldat dans leur maison. Elles accueillent, en plus des 10 gamins, la majorité des femmes à qui on donne du microcrédit ont plus que 10 enfants sur la terre battue dans une masure pauvre. Donc c'est ma question, comment on peut imaginer le microcrédit ? Les gens ne vont jamais dans les banques. Donc nous, on a instauré ça juste avec nos comptables. Je me suis débrouillé pour ne pas parler de microcrédit, mais de prêts solidaires au début, pour ne pas avoir des problèmes avec la superintendance des banques en Bolivie et dans d'autres pays. Ça marche. Mais comment est-ce qu'on peut faire pour que des banques si riches comme la Société Générale puissent faire des microcrédits accessibles aux pauvres? Ça sera un autre produit, mais ça sera un produit où on tient compte de la situation financière des gens qui ne peuvent pas accéder au capital. C'est la question à 10 balles du matin.
Mais Marianne, ça on le fait en fait. Ce que nous on fait, c'est qu'on finance des entités qui font du microcrédit. Mais par contre, c'est vrai que du coup, on va financer... Planète Finance, on va financer des entités qui sont structurées, mais qui font du microcrédit. Mais nous,
mais avec quel taux d'intérêt ?
Non, pas forcément. C'est pas le sujet, mais le sujet, c'est que comme on n'a pas l'infrastructure pour distribuer, on passe par des gens qui ont l'infrastructure pour distribuer.
Oui.
Et si tu veux, nous, en fait, le problème qu'on a, c'est que, enfin, le problème, c'est pas un problème, mais on est tenu par un certain nombre de règles qui font que quand on donne on finance par exemple du microcrédit, on doit le faire par des organismes reconnus de microcrédit, de façon à ce qu'on ne nous soupçonne pas de corruption, de je ne sais pas quoi, par des bulles. Donc on est obligé de rentrer dans un certain formalisme parce que sinon ça ne fonctionne pas. I would like to thank, you know, all the four women which accepted to participate for their insightful views and comments, and especially Valérie, who joined in the last minute and changed a meeting for us. So that's really very, very nice of you. But all of you, thank you. And I wish again all of you a very nice Woman Day. You know, if you were in Ukraine, because my daughter did an internship in Ukraine 10 years ago, all women were given by men a rose. So that was very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anne, for mentioning that. We'll ask our men on the floor to do that.
Et
moi, je vous offre un vote for women in Ukraine. I think they need support.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and in Afghanistan. Yes, right. Many places.
Thank you, everyone.
Right. Many places.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. Bye bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.